Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day.
Plenty of young cats still got affection for real spitters. Hair of the dog got good reason to feel bitter. Plenty of real bigots burn bridges and meal tickets. I ain't gotta be specific. You feel me if you live it. And if you live it, you don't finish. It's not a gimmick. The pinnacle steady sending pretenders to the clinic. I pick them out, spot the beast, hit it with the right crossbow and eyes glowing like a Riddick. Politically speaking, institutions all classes, races. That's why I'm on my cash is clean. It's my basket cases. Took advantage of the agitation to get you caught up in the distraction matrix. It ain't happening. Is it my rapping or my accent? Is it my parentage or my passion? Faxes, I'm trying to get the message past this machine. Faxes, masticate on that. It should take it backwards.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts, with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is a hot, balmy June the 4th. And this is Homegrown, 10 o'clock. Coming at you on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strong, also known as DVS1. And with me, as always, is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Hello, David. That was a little loud, sweetie.
I told you I'm not NPR.
Yeah.
You asked for me, you got me. Oh, now I got to get closer? Right? I have to get closer? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't blow out the mics and whatever. But yeah, I want to come strong, you know? I want to do it different. This is progressive, but we're not.
So first of all, how's your weekend been?
My weekend has been...
The progressive and impressive voice.
Charlottesville. No, it's been pretty fantastic, actually.
Mine too.
Freaking tastic.
Can I just tell you? Okay,
you
so my weekend started. My weekend started with a full body massage at Liberation Massage. And can I just tell you, why have I not been doing this like every day of my life so far?
It's true.
Oh my God. It's true.
I actually had the luxury of actually receiving a massage. I've given many massages like in my life, but I received very little. I think the last time I received a massage was like Obama's first term, like, and that. But she was just recent. So I mean, it's beautiful. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm a giver. I receive very little.
You notice how there was silence after that, right? y'all caught
it
that.
It shouldn't be silence of shame. I'm doing. Just fine. I'm doing fine.
It was awesome. Yeah. I go and it's in your cute little room and mm-hmm. Some relaxing music playing.
Yeah. Did you get the stones and all that?
No, I didn't get the stones, but the woman who runs it, Kiri, mm-hmm. She has like not just magic fingers, like she uses her entire arm. Like she's like on my back with her forearms. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I was like, never would have thought that, but that feels amazing. Please keep going. That's great.
When I jab my elbow in the small of your spine. Ooh, can you do that again, please?
Can you please do that again? Because apparently there was something
gorgeous.
There.
Yeah.
But no, it was awesome. So that started my weekend. Mm. And then last night I attended a black tie old school dance with a live band.
Nice.
Yes.
So was that just black tie and just like retro Jordans like the whole time? Because you can't dance in no wingtips, so you know.
Oh no, they danced in their tips, baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
These men don't play.
Right. Oh, because
they can't,
excuse to like get suited and booted. You
right.
Know,
yeah.
Do it right.
And
you know?
Oh my God,
a lot
they
of
did. People were like decked mm-hmm. out. There was a lot of sequence. There was a lot of sequence in that room. Woo!
It's just glittery.
Seriously,
the whole room
black women here, black tie. They're like, ooh, where's the sparkles?
Right, yes. Yes. Sparkles, but, shiny shoes. Oh, so shiny shoes.
But no, it was, I've had a wonderful, and I get to finish my weekend here with you.
Oh my God.
How amazing is that?
The group is back. I hate shows where we can't be together. I don't even like you ever have a daytime television show that you like?
Yeah.
And then one host like leaves and then they have like a sub host and you're right. Like, what the hell is this?
Right. Like, I like that.
Like, go away. Right. Bring back the people I like. And when there's not the whole group here, I feel a hole inside.
I know. Aw. Yeah. Baby.
But we tight. We here together.
Yep.
We are family. And we're gonna switch over, speaking of fabulousness and fabulous weekends, to our fabulous guest, Dreama Bell. She is the head of the House of Bell, and they are hosting the first ever.
No.
All right.
David's just upset he's never heard of it.
That's yeah.
Funny. Oh, well,
it's new to me.
Come out this
I know.
Week,
I do have to come out. House of Bell Drag Show, Southern Cafe and Music Hall, June 8th.
Yes.
Talk about it. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing really well this morning.
I know you just kind of like skated in at like the nick of time.
I couldn't remember if it was 9:40 or 9:50, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to take my time.
That's right. Fashionably late.
but no, it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you all today. I've actually been spending the week with my sister, so that's been a pleasure.
Okay.
So you know, we've been having ourselves a good weekend. Mm. Went out to the Relay for Life event over up in Northern Virginia this weekend. Just
nice.
Really enjoyed the weekend. So it's I'm on a pretty good note this
right
morning. The House of Bell Drag Show, we've had it now for about 4 months now.
Okay.
It actually started out at Firefly, in which the shows did extremely well there, and we just needed to expand out to a larger venue for space and all part, you know. There were no hard feelings in leaving Firefly by any means. It just worked out better to move it over to the Southern.
So it's the first ever at the Southern Cafe.
This will be our third performance there.
I'm trying to be right.
Trying to
so bad. It's really not that important.
Let it go, David. Let it go.
I'm letting it go.
All right.
We started over there in April. So this is our third month now over there. We're doing between 1 to 2 performances per month.
Okay.
We've been doing one performance per month during April, May, and now we're kicking it up to 2 for the most part. And then in August, we have a really big special guest, so we're only going to have one show that month, and as well as just one show during our Pride Week, which will be in September.
Nice.
Yes, for the House of Bell, we have all different types of drag artists from all around. We have femme fatales, drag kings, and drag queens. Femme fatales are biological cisgender females that are drag queens as well. Mm-hmm. They also go by bio queens as well. There are many other terms for them, but they are just as much as a drag queen. There are drag queens like myself, as well as we bring in drag kings, which are women that do male impersonations. So we are happy to boast all of the facets of drag into our show. And it's a really big pleasure.
Yeah. Nice.
Our show is family friendly to an extent. We do a viewer discretion is advised. So anyone is welcome to come.
Well, our improv
and bring
shows
your
are the
family.
Same way. Yeah. So it's like.
So you just got to keep yourself
if
covered.
Not
Oh,
that's
kind
of like everything. Like, you can't go to like a water park and like, just do whatever.
Right?
You know, viewer discretion advised.
You know,
at all points.
So, how many performers do you have per show?
Well, I'm the host of every show, and then I have 2 cast members that are in every single show. One is from Roanoke, Virginia. Her drag name is Cherry Poppins, as well as Miss Beverly Bouvier, which is a local here in Charlottesville. And then we have about 6 to 7 rotating members that I just bring in for each individual show on case-by-case basis, as well as a featured headliner that co-hosts a show with me each month. So it's a pretty big show, usually between at least 6 and then up to 10 performers per show.
Right on.
Yeah.
So for a layman like me who's never attended a drag show, what's the outline of that?
I guess you've never attended a drag show?
I don't think...
Really?
No.
Well, he's going to this week.
Yes.
He'll learn.
Yeah. You know what? I am taking you. We are going.
June 8th.
We're
Is that a Wednesday? Thursday?
It's a Thursday.
Thursday. We are going.
Okay.
We are going.
The hottest place you can be in town on a Thursday night.
All right. So what am I seeing? What's the outline? What's going on? Sell me.
He's excited
Well,
now.
It's at least going to be mediocre.
Awesome. I'm sold.
I can promise you that. You might laugh.
You might laugh, says Hannah Bell. Raving.
Well, either
raving
way, I'm getting paid, so.
Right. Either way, I'm getting paid, so.
I'm with you.
In coming to a drag show, I think the only formality is just really to have fun, to come in with an open mind and just be able to, you know, really latch on and say, okay, this is what's in front of me, and I'm really going to enjoy it, because there are so many different types of drag out there. And, you know, that's why, you know, I'm really boastful in saying, you know, that we have kings, queens, and femmes, because a lot of shows do not encompass all of that. It's usually just a drag queen show. So we really are very prideful in being able to represent a much larger portion of the community in what we do. Between myself and my co-hosts, that changes each show. You know, we try to just keep it very light and lively and try to push it along because we have, you know, between 6 to 10 performers, and then each performer does 2 numbers. So it ends up being a pretty long night, you know, with an intermission in the middle, and then they have great food. I always get the nachos. That's what I get at intermission. They're fabulous. You can write that down if you want to.
writing that down right now. All right.
And, you know, and these performers are working for tips. So, you know, we, you know, during our performances, if you've ever watched on YouTube or whatever of a drag show, you know, we work the crowd for tips, and that's, you know, kind of how we pay for all of this, which gets pretty expensive.
It does get pretty expensive. Yes. Okay, so I went to college in Richmond, which has a huge drag community. And a lot of them a lot of my friends were in the dance department at VCU. So I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time watching. I was fascinated. I was absolutely fascinated by watching this. I'm seeing this man about, you know, David's complexion, and he's like, "Yeah, make sure we get David's complexion." Okay. and he's sitting there, and he's, you know, like putting on his face, getting ready for to perform that night. And seriously, an hour later, and there's this beautiful woman in front of me. I'm like, "Wait a minute. I need to do that. How come I can't do that? Because seriously, you look better than me. Yeah. I'm upset now."
Yeah. I'll see some actual woman be like mad jelly at that makeup technique.
Like, seriously. No. It's like, how do you do... Wait a minute. How'd you do that with the eye? I didn't do that. But there's a lot of... I think that's what a lot of people miss is the artistry in like putting a look together. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, this morning I spent about 25 minutes on my face because I woke up a little bit late. but yeah, you know, it's... For me, whenever I put on the lashes is whenever I... feel my transformation, you know, take place, you know, and talking to other people, you know, it's really unique to see what, you know, what is that one thing in that instant that really changes, you know, who you are and what you're about to step into. You know, whenever I'm in this space, I'm Miss Dreama Belle. And then, you know, whenever the makeup comes off, I'm not going to say my actual name right now, but there are a lot of creeps out there.
Just there are.
You know, you know, so it's really a really empowering transformation process. You know, I'm not really a big makeup queen person. You know, that isn't like one of my strong fortes is doing makeup. And it's something, you know, I learn every single time that I do it. You know, I come out with a completely different look just about every single time. You know, there are certain things that, you know, I'll keep the same. But, you know, it usually changes from time to time. I'm not at that point that I'm like, okay, I want to keep that one forever.
Right.
But yeah, it's a really empowering process to be able to transform from one thing to another.
So you don't have a signature thing that is like Miss Dreama Belle, like a particular swoop of the eye or a particular.
Or is it the lashes?
Well. These are just $5 lashes, but
it's working, girl.
Thank you, girl. Thank you. The dots that I put, the dots in my glitter lips is something that you can most definitely always see.
And, do the 4 dots have a certain significance or any
meaning? No, I usually keep the 3 going up the side of my face here, and then I'll add in like a beauty and an additional dot somewhere. Yeah, wherever I want to pow it in.
Yeah. By the way, I want that lipstick. That is badass.
Well, this is like 99-cent lipstick. It's like a clear, very like basic lipstick, and then I get like glitter powder from the craft section and pack it in.
Oh,
No, I don't spend like the $50 on the new glitter lipstick. And everyone compliments me and tells me, wow, that's some of the best glitter lipstick. Well,
yeah.
It costs $2.
I love it.
That's what you should. That's what you should do. You should have a YouTube show. It's like, how do you look fabulous and save
on a budget.
Money
yes.
at the same time?
Yes, you
All
should.
Right. Are we moving up?
We're
All right, going to drop in a second. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the actual drag artistry that goes down a little bit further, a little bit deeper. And we'll be back with Mr. Dreama Bell. This is Homegrown. Drop! It is 16 minutes past the hour. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We are with Miss Dreama Bell talking about the House of Bell drag show going on at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall Thursday, June 8th.
So we started talking about a little about the artistry that goes into doing drag. And so when I was living in Richmond all those years, of course, being
it just seems like a long time because you were living in Richmond.
Yeah. No, I loved living in Richmond when I was there. I don't know if I'd ever move back there to live, but I loved visit. Because most of my friends were drag artists, they convinced me to do it a couple of times. So, yeah. So, I mean, it was like they were dressing up a doll. They're like, ooh, girl, this wig, this one's you. Mm. And I put it on. I'm like, I look like Gloria Estefan. Take it off. But so how do you explain the whole process or the transformation to a new performer? Like, how do you get somebody comfortable with being, because it takes a lot. I mean, we're all performers in this room, but but you know, we use our own faces. You know, we're not we're not literally putting another layer on before we put on, you know, an emotional layer. So talk about that a little bit.
I think that something that's imperative for all artists to think about, not just drag performers, but, you know, all artists, is to think collaboratively about what they're doing and how this is going to affect the outside and what you want to portray with that. And finding, you know, why do I get up every day and do this? And I'm sure that you all, you know, ask yourselves that, you know, as artists, as fellow artists, you know, why do I get up to do this? Why am I putting this on? Why am I going to go lip sync, you know, in a couple, in about an hour at a brunch on the downtown mall? You know, like, why do I get up and do this? So I think that that's imperative in creating that transformation from, you know, from that person into whatever their character is, which to me, you know, I spend, you know, most of my nights out of the week past like 6 p.m. I'm Dreama. So, you know, Dreama is really, you know, is really half of my life. So I've really gotten to know Dreama, especially over about the past 6 months that I've been picking up a whole lot more shows and doing a whole lot more work that I've been very blessed with, you know, really discovering that every single time and really having a better understanding each time as to why I continue to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just so beautiful. I mean, just hold on. I'm gonna get myself together.
That's important. You have to do the stuff that you believe in. And,
And
be the person that you want to see out there in the world. And that person might change from day to day to day. I know sometimes every day I don't feel like the same person. Sometimes I like rock and roll. Sometimes I like reggae. You know?
And I think that's so imperative, especially for people that are viewing in on drag artistry, you know, from an outsider looking in, whether if it's from listening to this talk show right now or to coming to a show, you know, seeing that a lot of these drag artists, you know, they're speaking through a voice that they feel like they don't have. And, you know, and I think that that's very true of all artists. You know, we're not exactly these people right now all the time.
Right.
You know, and especially in a lot of folks that are LGBT drag artists or LGBT ally drag artists, you know, there's a lot of oppression that comes within their daily lives. And a lot of them have been through very traumatic experiences that really, you know, generate all artistry, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's really a really special thing, you know.
Do you see yourself, and I don't want to get too, well, we are a pseudo-political show and I don't want to get too progressive, but do you see yourself as kind of like a leader in the ways of having a more open and communicative community in Charlottesville to be, you know, kind of like that point person to be like, okay, I'm going to lead this movement of LGBT drag acceptance in this community. Do you see yourself as one of those individuals?
I absolutely do. I was welcomed into the Charlottesville community about a year ago is when I started performing in this city. And the city just opened their arms so much out to me. And I never received that amount of acceptance in what I do as far as this art form goes. Mm. And that was extremely meaningful to me. And, you know, I started working here a lot more and more and more. And then I ended up opening up our own show, which started, like I said earlier, about 4 months ago. And we've been incredibly blessed, almost selling out, you know, several of our shows so far, which has been, you know, such a blessing and an honor, and getting to really interact, and especially with the younger folks. You know, it's really such a overwhelming experience,
right?
Truly. And this year I'll be serving as the entertainment director for this year's Charlottesville Pride Festival.
Yay!
So I'll be interacting a whole lot more across, you know, the community in a much broader spectrum.
Awesome.
And doing that. And this year's festivities is looking like we're hopefully getting like a full week of festivity that's going to encompass a lot of youth activity and getting them a whole lot more engaged and involved, you know, and then leading into the big Pride Festival that we've all come to know and love at this point. So,
yeah.
It's really exciting. I get to work a lot here, like I said, and it's truly such an honor and a blessing to get to interact with those folks.
Yeah.
So speaking of young folks, do you ever have somebody come up to you during a show or after a show and just say, I want to be you. I want to do that. How?
Just about every show. I mean, and it's really, I mean, it's such a, you know, it takes me back, you know, like, why would you want to be me? But it really encourages me, you know, what we were talking a few moments ago about, you know, what encourages us to continue to do it. You know, it's absolutely those moments that encourage me to continue to do what I do. You know, theater and music is, you know, my home base for my artistry as an artist. And that's really what pushed me through the absolute darkest times of my life, you know, during my childhood, was absolutely going to the piano and singing and then being involved in an ample amount in theater, which has really pushed me a lot to where I am today.
Well, I mean, it's always nice as an artist for someone to actually come to you and say that they appreciated what you did so much that they want to do it themselves.
And that's what I kind of wanted to say at the beginning of the show. It seems that your show is really picking up steam and that you keep booking more shows because there's a lot of popularity that's going on and a lot of like want within the community to, for that to be seen. And I support it. I have a lot of friends within the queer LGBTQ community that I really care about, and I want to see not get harassed or threatened or anything
right.
of that nature by new culture so I support you in everything
that you do.
You're welcome. Southern Cafe Music Hall, Thursday, June 8th. Trying to close out.
A more technical question about the moment of performance when you're doing a number. So what's the line between when you're lip syncing a number, what's the line between imitation and interpretation, or how much of each in, you know?
I was actually just having this are you talking, you know, coming from the standpoint of like impersonating directly like that individual, or taking the interpretation like for yourself? There are several people that are impersonation artists, you know, that do like Dolly Parton or Adele or, you know, whatever it is that they might do. You know, I try to stay as far away from that spectrum as possible. You know, I absolutely, for me as an artist, you know, I just take the piece and interpret it into whatever, you know, I'm getting out of it. And, you know, some of my favorite folks are, one of our cast members at the House Bell, you know, she's a wonderful Liza impersonator. And, you know, I'm sure she's going to bring out some Liza today at brunch, which is going to be fabulous. And she, you know, she absolutely, watching her, from my experience of watching her, I think she's the best example to talk from in that, you know, she absolutely takes, you know, that impersonation of that one character, well, that one person, that one performer, and really, I mean, it's just magical. But myself, I'm not an impersonator of any like specific celebrity or anything to that.
It's like just doing a good cover. Like you still add your own spice on the original songs, performance, and intent.
Yeah, so, that's a fabulous way to put it.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. Oh, so yeah, we wrapping it up? Okay. All right. Southern Cafe Music Hall, Thursday, June 8th. No smoothness at all in that whatsoever.
There's no smoothness today.
No. I'm gonna try it.
Also today at Fellini's Dry Brunch.
Yes, Fellini's Dry Brunch.
Yeah.
Fellini's Dry Brunch.
There are three places here in Charlottesville to see drag. Saturday nights at Impulse Gay Social Club, Fellini's Drag Brunch, the first Sunday of each month, and then the Southern Cafe and Music Hall for the House of Belle.
Boom.
All right. We are going to, I'm taking you to a drag show. You're going to have so much fun. Trust me.
You won't have to drag me.
Okay, Joe.
Miss Dreama Bell! Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bell, that was not a joke. Oh my
goodness. Moving along, are we going to stuff?
Yes.
Artistic events?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, here are some of the artistic events that are happening this week. Currently running through June 11th, American Shakespeare Center Spring Season featuring Two Gentlemen of Verona and Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare, and also Thornton Wilder's Outtown and Anne-Marie McDonald's Goodnight Desdemona, Good Morning Juliet, at the Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. Last chance, see Death of a Salesman at Live Arts today or tonight. I don't know.
Today.
Yes, currently running now through August the 27th, The Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artist Mick Namarari Choppichari at the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Arts Center Collection. Center. This morning, Drag Brunch at Fellini's, which we just talked about, hosted by Miss Glennie Borglake Nicole. And this afternoon, another writer's seminar at the Charlottesville Writer House, Apocalypse Now, turning disasters into blockbusters. Instructor Adam Rue helps you examine how writers address the high-octane anxieties of our time.
Oh,
June 6th! Yeah, that sounds like...
That sounds deep.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Kristen Rembold instructs pattern and form in poetry at the Charlottesville Writer House. Not as heavy as the last one. June 7th, Eyes on Art Tour that engages people with Alzheimer's disease in meaningful discussions about art at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. June 8th through June 10th, Animal Farm, a stage reading at Live Arts. June 9th, Butchertown, burlesque series featuring Deanna Danger, Lottie Ellington, and Johnny Grave at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. June 10th, UVA Fralin Art Museum, Docent, and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour.
Are you all right?
Keep the Pages Turning is going on in June 10th. A mini retreat at the Charlottesville Writer House for all writers of all levels. Instructor Debbie Prum works through several events of writing. And also on June 10th, you can learn the truth about what investigative journalists do in the seminar by the Charlottesville Writer House, taught by Patty McCracken. And for your music options this week.
Music options this week. Oh, my. This afternoon, Michael Clement, Thomas Gunn at First Colony Winery. June 6th, the Charlottesville begins. Charlottesville begins their 95th summer concert series at Western Arbalm High School. June 7th, Will Overman at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. June 9th, the Leg Warmers at the Jefferson Theater. Abbey Road, the Ultimate Beatles Party Band, plays Fridays after 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. Grateful Dead Night with Mama Tried and the Cows at the Villa Sports Bar and Ultra Lounge. Hey, Mama Tried. June 10th, Mojo Pie at Almiral Cider Works, the Pollux at the Batesville Market. Nasty presents Back That Thing Up, Throwback Dance Party at the Jefferson Theater. David, I think we might have to go to that. Can you back that thing up still?
I mean it's been a while.
June 16th.
99?
Right. That was a while ago, right? June 16th through the 24th, Victory Hall Opera presents Drug Song, music by Richard Wagner, and script and direction by Jen Hoyt Tidwell at UVA's Brooks Hall. June 24th and 25th, Love Fest, music and arts festival at the X Art Park. every Monday. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Ray Nada Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Bellini's Number 9. Every Wednesday, the Mike Brzezinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, John Durst Quintet at Miller's. Oh my God, there's so much.
So much.
There's so much.
But you know what would be cool? If we got those people from Drug Song to do a spot here on Hungra.
It would.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God, they're here.
They like showed up. Oof. In the middle of the night.
They are magical.
Dreama Bell was here before, and
right.
Now...
They're
I got
magical.
My wish. I got my wish.
Aw. He's a real boy.
Miriam Gordon-Stewart and Corey Bix are in the house. They're here to promote the opera/new play Drug Song, written and directed by Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell and music by Richard Wagner.
Wagner.
At UVA's Brooks Hall, June 16th through the 24th. How are y'all doing?
Hey, great.
Thanks
good.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
So my first question, Wagner, because I love Wagner, but I know a lot of people don't because, you know, I mean, he's the guy who's famous for writing operas that literally took like 3 days to get through. Like one performance, like, what, like 4 or 5 hours? Mm-hmm. And then people would leave and come back the next night.
He was the Grateful Dead of classic composers.
Yes. Before there
just
was,
jam for
before
like
there
3 days.
Was binge-watching Netflix 3 days. There was binge-watching Wagner.
So my question is, really? Why'd you... Okay, really? Wagner? That's so cool. Like, that's so cool. But how did you come to that?
Well, I mean, in this show, what's interesting about using Wagner and a slice of an opera that does usually take, you know, a good 4 or 5 hours to perform is what happens when you kind of intensify that experience into 35 minutes and take its, you know, because Wagner is very, it's this kind of music that is like, I like to describe it as tantric.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kind of tension that builds in it, and what happens when what happens when you intensify that experience and just take a slice of it and let people experience that. Get out in front of it. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a bit soft-spoken for an opera singer. It's unusual.
She's trying to preserve that boldness and that bigness. But it's based on, you know, that classic love story, betrothed lovers, unto each other. Talk about that. Talk about that old time feeling. You know, singing for the one you love. When a man loves a woman.
That old time.
It's exactly like that.
It's only old time. It doesn't happen anymore.
But they don't write that stuff anymore. So it's just like, yeah. So,
I mean, yeah, 16-year-olds falling in love. I mean, that's a Wagner thing. I mean, it's the typical kind of Romeo and Juliet story. Ill-fated lovers. Like, what am I doing?
Keep coming.
The microphone
keep
moving.
Closer to her.
She's drawing me in again.
Yes.
It's the basic story. You know, woman falls in love with man. They can't be together, so they get together anyway, and then all hell breaks loose, and they have to kill each other. And well, not kill each other, kill themselves together.
Let me take over right here. Okay. So...
Was I too grim?
Let that be a lesson to you, kids.
She wasn't feeling the same.
The myth of Tristan and Isolde, in 10 seconds or less, is the story of two people who are betrothed to other people or married to other people, depending on what point you pick up the myth, and as they're going to meet the people that they're betrothed to, they're slipped a Mickey. So they end up taking this love potion by mistake, which means that they are in love with each other. But you know, it's like any drug, I guess, like any drug experience. It's one that they can't get out of, and so it's this kind of very deep erotic experience that is peaking and peaking and peaking, and it's painful and intoxicating at the same time. Mm. And so, you know, in the opera section of this play, that this new play by Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell, we see them questioning whether this bond between them will survive death, essentially. So we could die together. Will that mean that we can stay together, or will death break the bond between us?
Yeah, so let's make sure that we make that clear. Tristan and Isolde is one part. It's one aspect of this show that you're putting on. It's the music of it put into, well, talk about the whole concept and how you came to it.
There's a novella, a short book written by Thomas Mann, German writer, in which a group of people are sort of inmates or patients at a sanitarium, and two of them bond, this writer character, which is in our show played by Corey, and a woman who is perceived as having a weak larynx, which is played by me. Mm. And they bond together, and at some point, all of the other members of the all of the other residents leave to go out on a trip, and the two are left alone. And so, in the novella, they discover a score of Tristan and Isolde. Like literally, they discover that particular piece of music. They start playing through it on the piano in the day room, and they have this transcendent experience. So we were looking at this novella and we thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could commission a new play based on this novella, in which when we get to the opera section, the two people who are playing these characters can mysteriously sing the opera section.
That's a really cool. I love that. I absolutely love that.
It's pretty cool. And I mean, it's like, so we have to act in the, like we are acting.
Now, wait a minute. You guys act as opera singers. You act all the time. You're just singing while you do it.
While you act.
It's a much different, we've definitely discovered through this process that spoken acting is a much quicker process as opposed to opera acting, which is
true.
A much more stretched amount of time. So the intensity levels are used differently in the spoken material and the opera material. So it's been a kind of balance of figuring out how to
talk about that. Have you found any difficulty in that kind of transition between full opera and half acting, half opera, personally?
I have a lot of lines, which is not typical in operas that have dialogue. For me, they're usually like a small dialogue scene, a big music scene, small dialogue scene, big music scene. And in the structure of this piece, there's a huge dialogue scene, then a huge opera scene, then another huge dialogue scene. So it's definitely been a process of figuring out which parts of the brain to kind of put certain, like the dialogue in, and going into our singing, kind of you have to watch how you use your spoken voice a lot of the time so that we're not exhausted by the time we get to the huge singing that we have to do in the Wagner scene. And yeah, it's definitely also a timing issue, figuring out when to come in off of another person's line, because in the music, that's already delineated to you, so you don't have to think about that much. But speaking, it's definitely a different experience, but fun. I mean, it's been a fun thing to do. Stretch your boundaries of performing. For sure.
Get out of your comfort zone.
And that's part of our mission at Victory Hall Opera, is to extend and develop the performing craft of opera. So the people that we bring in and the people in our ensemble are all interested in being extended, basically. Like, you know, we feel underextended by traditional opera productions where we're just asked to sort of stand and sing and watch the conductor and do what the director tells us to do. And part of starting this company was sort of unleashing the nuclear potential of opera singers who, you know, are all extremely creative people and really experienced in companies around the world and seeing what happens if they are given more of a creative outlet and given a chance also to lead projects or to direct or to conduct sometimes or design or other parts of the business. So this is definitely an example of that, teaching us or helping us develop a skill that we don't get a chance to really work on very much.
Mm. So, Corey, how did you become affiliated with Victory Hall Opera?
Wow. Well, I met years ago Brenda Patterson, who is Miriam's other counterpart at Victory Hall, and I guess they were searching for somebody to do this project, and my name came up, and they contacted me, and I was luckily available during this time and gladly came and said, hey, I'll come spend a few weeks in Charlottesville and do this cool project, learn a new piece, and work on it with a new company. It's fun.
Corey and I are both singing these roles for the first time as well. So the roles of Tristan and Isolde are two of the hardest roles in opera.
Yeah.
They're super challenging. And
so why is that? Why are they so challenging?
Length, stamina, intensity, the range that they're set in. So they're sort of set in, they require a lot of high notes. and so this, having a chance to sort of try out a chunk of it before you do the whole role is a really good idea for both of us. Mm-hmm. And with a small orchestration. So we've got piano quintet for this show.
Okay.
Instead of 100-piece orchestra. It's a good way to dip your toe into a new role.
And it'll be a different way for people to hear the piece, too.
Yeah.
It's usually heard with a 100-plus orchestra, most likely. I don't know how many totally are in the orchestration, but
yeah,
it'll be a good way for people to hear the piece in a much more thinly orchestrated kind of
intimate, intimate way, up close as well. So, you know, Brooks Hall is an intimate venue.
Yeah.
So, and we're doing it in the round, which means that, you know, pretty much everybody will at some point have Wagner being sung through their body.
Oh, that's awesome.
As opposed to seeing it off in the distance, you know, tiny figures on the stage while you're sitting up in the cheap seats, like trying to have the full experience. So everybody will be having the music pouring through their
cells. So neat. So how long have you been singing, Corey?
Well, my singing debut was when I was 4 in church choir, but
well, yeah, but
4 in church choir, but that wasn't really a good debut. My I'm not sure
that.
I knew the words or the hand movements.
We actually have the video right here. If you want to go to
it, it'll be posted later today on the website. No, my father did kind of community musical theater stuff, and he was legendary in my hometown for his portrayal of Lancelot in high school.
Oh.
All the girls still talk about it. Now the girls are like 60. But so when I was young, he brought us along in the summer. My sister and I did music theater with him, and my first debut was as Sandy the Candyman in Brigadoon.
Oh my God.
It was really embarrassing. I could still be a part of it, but I won't do it today because it will make people cry. I was like, no, it was terrible. It was really awful. That's why I don't do music theater, because of that 10-year-old debut.
But, Brigadoon's one of my favorites.
It was great. But yeah, so then I just continued on through to college. I sang, played trombone, played piano, and just...
He plays trombone.
I did. Mm-hmm. I would be terrible to now.
Oh my. I love a good trombone player.
It is a nice instrument.
It is. It's underrated. I'm gonna say it.
So how has the more traditional opera world responded to the types of works that you've been doing? I mean, when you tell people about, I mean, have you told people about Drug Song, and what has been their reaction?
Sure. That's a good question. I mean, certainly the singers that are aware of what we're doing here are all really interested in it. I think that it's, you know, anytime you kind of upend a hierarchy, there are going to be people who lose in that deal. You know, there are going to be people who lose power. So, you know, it's really tricky when you're when
and
you're,
people often respond so well and graciously to losing power.
People generally, yeah. I mean, yeah. This industry has for a really long time worked in a certain way, which is controlled by a small group of people and has drawn a small group of people as an audience. Now, that. You know, in changing everything about the structure of this company and having it be led by singers, we are hoping to change all of those things. So to change to broaden the number of people that make the art, and the kinds of positions that they're represented in, and to, you know, open opera up to a different audience. So I think that that's something that all opera companies are currently facing and are trying to deal with in their own ways. So this is just our way of doing it. A lot of people are sort of changing things up in terms of, we're going to perform in a slaughterhouse with free beer, or we're going to, you know, only cast 18-year-olds who are hot, or, you know, like everybody has their own way of doing it. Ours is about the craft, so we're interested in actually making the opera better.
Mm.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been working on Drug Song, like the rehearsal process?
We started talking to Jen about this commission back in about a year ago, I guess.
Oh, wow.
And so we were both finishing up other projects at the time, and then she started working on the script, I guess, last year in September. And that's been a collaborative process between Jen and Victory Hall Opera, and we've workshopped it together a little bit. And, and then we've been rehearsing now for 2.5 weeks, mm-hmm. or 3 weeks.
Almost three weeks.
So it's been a quick rehearsal period.
Right on. I want to call. We're going
to
talk about that
yes,
more
we need to
and
talk
further.
About that.
Deeper. Miriam Gore Stewart, Corey Bricks. Be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop.
Here we are.
Research on Basil Ravenloft.
Basil Ravenloft. Why are we talking about Basil Ravenloft?
Are we back?
We are back.
Oh, my God. So professional. Sorry. 49 minutes past the hour.
Basil Ravenloft.
Homegrown. Yeah. 94.7 WBBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
Harry Potter, right?
Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean McCord. Their guest is Dr. Jamie Kurtz. They're talking about her new book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations. But now, we are with Miriam Gordon Stewart and Corey Bix. They talking about some Drug Song. It's written by Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell. Music by Rich Wagner.
Okay, all right.
Going
all right,
down to
right,
Brooks
right,
Hall.
We may have
June 16th
wait.
Through 24th. Ma'am, you singing stuff. Elaborate. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm so unprofessional. So, Miriam.
Oh,
the rehearsal process of Drug Song was quite arduous, as you were speaking of previously.
Oh, my God.
Before we went to break.
Okay, so you've been rehearsing 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. After talking for a year, and Corey, you weren't on board until later, so you do this professionally.
I don't even know if I'm on board yet.
I just sing stuff.
Just kidding.
Don't
worry, I'm here. I'm still here.
I got the job, right? I got the job.
I'm still here.
I still haven't signed the contract, so. Still wondering about that.
Oh, wow. So, what's the normal rehearsal process for an opera? The length of time?
Well, I mean, for a new piece, it would normally be 6 weeks. But that's, you know, this piece is an hour, almost 2 hours long, around 2 hours long with the intermission. So it's about half the length of a normal opera.
Right.
Right. So we figured, 4 and a bit weeks was good for that length of time.
Yeah.
What we maybe didn't factor in is that actors like to rehearse forever.
Yes, we do.
You guys like to rehearse for a year.
Can I get one more take? Can I get one more try on that? can we do it again? Can we do it again? I can do it better.
Okay.
I can do it better.
Go ahead.
So it's
amazing.
It's,
and it's, I mean, that's partly because, okay, you don't have the structure of the music, right?
When we're not blowing out our larynx, you know, with powerful notes every 2 or 3 minutes. So.
But I mean, when you have the musical structure, a certain number of the decisions are made, right?
Yeah.
So that's
That's right. True.
Like Corey was saying, it's already written in the music. You know where you're going to pause, when someone is going to come in and take over, when you're going to go back and forth. But in a regular play, that all has to be figured out, and it has to look effortless. It has to look like it's not staged. Which we like to and me, especially when I'm directing, I'm a rehearsal whore. Like we're doing it, and we're doing it again, and we're going to do it again.
Until we get it right.
And no, next week, we're coming back, and we're working that moment, because you didn't do it right.
Like, how long did you guys rehearse Fences?
What, 2.5 months?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost 3 months. Yeah.
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 But, I mean, we're working all day. Like, it's full. It's like 8 hours a day kind of schedule, so.
Okay, and that's the other difference, is that you guys... When you rehearse, you do a full day of rehearsal. Yeah. And normally when we rehearse,
when we're on a normal opera gig, we would start rehearsals, say, 10 in the morning, go till 1, take an hour lunch break, go 2 to 5.
Hmm.
And that's a normal day. Six hours is the... Luckily, we have a union that says you can't work more than 6 hours a day. Because some places that don't have the union, they do like to work you more than that, and you don't really have much of a choice.
Yeah,
It's like, oh, you don't want to work? Welcome to being not hired back.
Right. Yeah. Well, and for us, all of our rehearsals are from like 7 to 10, maybe three or four times a week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's a different structure. Yeah. But
when we're bringing people in, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to make him embarrassed now because... He's a humble guy, but like Tristan, there's like a handful of guys in the world who can sing this role.
Mm.
And trying to find one who was also willing to come here, work with us, it's like not on the opera circuit per se, Charlottesville, right? So, and was willing to do this sort of crazy process involving also learning lots of lines and, happened to be available just for this little window of time. It's like, you've got to make the most of having this guy in town. You've got to work him like a dog while he's here and have everybody just keep up.
So
I couldn't have gotten him for 3 months.
Right. No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Where are you originally based?
I'm from Iowa originally.
Okay.
I'm a traveling salesman right now, but... I've lived in New York. I work a lot in Chicago and L.A. and San Francisco. So, like, I move around.
Mm-hmm.
I have to eventually settle somewhere, but it will be a large city.
Seville's nice.
That'll be
Charlottesville's really nice, Corey.
It's really chill.
The Rock's moving here.
Rock is moving here?
That's what I heard. Dwayne Johnson's, like, building a house or something?
He's going to manage the Trump Vineyards. Just kidding.
I can see a wrestling opera in our future. It's gonna be a claw.
I love you, Rock. I love you, Rock.
There's so many.
I think Jeff, our programming director, just threw up in his mouth while listening to the show. Oh,
okay.
I got a letter about that in the mail.
So it must be true.
It must be true.
Kind of like I saw it on the internet. So it's good. Okay. All right. I get you.
So what's next after Jug Song for Corey, for Miriam? What's going on after that?
I'm going on a very exciting family vacation to the Black Hills with my family.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not my family, my actual parents and stuff. But and then my next job is in Toronto with Canadian opera.
That's
not my
the
children.
Literal definition.
Like I don't have. Well, I don't, who knows? But.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Is it that that we're doing?
Oh.
Okay.
I had to leave something up in the air.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and we start work soon after this finishes on our next project, which is the American premiere of a Rameau opera called Sympathy, which we'll be playing in October and November.
Ooh.
So
I'm actually helping out with that one.
Yeah, Leslie's going to be helping me out. I'm directing. I'm doing making my directing debut. So I'm going to.
I know.
I'm bringing Leslie in as emotional support.
Hold my hands.
Keep me safe.
Okay, wait. Is it a vodka day?
I was about to say, if she doesn't have the vodka with her, she's not on your side.
Good to know.
All right. So Drug Song is going down. UVA's Brooks Hall, June 16th to 24th. The Star
stars of Brooks Hall, of Drug Song, Brooks Hall. Well, there will be a Drug Song.
Yeah.
Miriam Gordon Stewart and Corey Bix, thank you so much. So many laughs.
It's so much fun.
Fun
to
y'all
have
are
you,
hilarious.
Miriam. Thank you.
All right. All right. So after this show,
yeah,
we are going to be doing Sunday morning wake up call.
Yeah.
With your host, Sean McCord.
Oh, Sean's here.
Talking about, talking with Dr. Jamie Kurtz about her new book, The Happy Traveler, Unpacking the Secrets of Better Vacations, something that I need to do soon.
I need better vacations.
I need a vacation, girl. I need, aww. Yeah, just a little bit. All right.
Well, you know, Mom and Nia and I are going on a little 6-day road trip. You want to join?
Nah. That's good. That sounds like, that's 3 generations, like.
I know.
In the car.
Yeah. 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the car.
Yeah. Be strong.
With my daughter.
You got this.
And my mother.
You'll be okay.
I mean, I love them.
You asked for this.
I did. Why did I agree to this again?
This is all your fault.
Because I love them. That's why.
She says, gritting her teeth.
What? No, I'm smiling. Inside. That was smiling, David. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
My mother listens to the show, David.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mother listens to the show, too. So I gotta.
Oh, hey, Mama D.
She listens to everything. My biggest
fan. Your mommy loves you.
Just drawing it out, baby. Just dragging that thing on out. Why didn't you write a rant this week?
Well, because I was busy last night.
Trump's trying to kill the world, by the way, if nobody's paying attention.
He is. He definitely is. So, have you seen Wonder Woman?
I heard it's fantastic. I have people at the store just like rolling up on me and being like, we need to see this movie.
Really?
Yeah. I hear it's dope.
All right, so
I hear it's the best of the DC universe.
It is the best of the DC universe. They actually, you know, kind of got their crap together and, you know, made an actual movie that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But you know, I have some issues with it. You see it, and then you and I are going to have a little, we're going to have a talk.
Okay.
We're going to have like a little breakdown of the whole thing.
Well, I'm sure that's what will happen. But for now,
Sean.
Hey, Sean. He's looking at us like, wrap it up. So this was Homegrown, 94.7 WVVC, the aggressive voice of Charlottesville. Sunday morning wake up calls next. I'm David Montronic, ADDVS1. That's Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Yep.
Clinton Johnson in the back. Thank you so much, everybody.
Peace. Love it. See you next week.
Further from sobriety, every day I'm moving further from sobriety, every day I'm moving further from sobriety, sobriety, moving further every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.